This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's keep going. How about Jasmine in Alabama? Hey, Jasmine, what are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Just got off work.
Oh, good for you. Oh, yeah, it's like 7 o'clock out there, huh?
Yeah, it's 6 o'clock, actually.
It's only 6 o'clock in Alabama right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's news to me. We'll explore later. But anyway, go ahead, Jasmine.
Well, I was just calling to say that they probably need to get off of Clay. I think the Warriors need to get younger and athletic and kind of build around Steph a little bit. And probably Draymond, because I don't think Draymond got a big market, and Draymond is still useful when he's not acting a damn fool.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. Are you still there?
No, I thought you were going to keep going.
No, that was material. She's running material.
Got it.
But I think Clay should, it's just time. They need to get younger and athletic. They looked old and slow when they played against Sacramento the other night. They need to get bigger, more athletic. And I keep hearing Warriors fans saying, trade Kuminga. You don't trade a 21 with that type of potential. I know everybody want to be with Steph timeline, but I think he can get better defensively. And I know he's very athletic. I just think if he ain't getting Giannis for him, don't trade him.
Jasmine, yeah. I think you make whole lot of sense, and I learned that Alabama's in the Central Time Zone.
Yep.
I did not realize
the,
that.
The easternmost state in the Central Time Zone, and you've got half of Kentucky.
I've learned.
I'm sorry, half of Kentucky, about two-thirds of Tennessee,
okay,
and just a tiny bit of the panhandle in Florida.
Oh, no way.
Central Time Zone.
Really?
What kind of a state splits itself time zone-wise? You got to make a decision.
Those states.
Yeah. Indiana's got a little bit of a high-low as well in the Central.
You're damn right it does. But anyway, I could listen to Jasmine talk all day, and I think she made a whole lot of sense.
She
now,
did.
Except for it's
her
a
joke fell a little flat, but we just
kind of
missed
it. Well, no, I thought she was, when I was over here on the world clock. But anyway, Jasmine made a really, I think, a bunch of good points, except for too firm with one of them. And this is just where I sit. I get that a lot of you don't. I am not black and white, pull out Sharpie, Clay's gone. I'm just not. Like, again, the Warriors need more shooting, and a lot of you want to get rid of Clay. He's your second best shooter. So there are a number of scenarios where with a reduced role, Clay makes a lot of sense. I get that it does not make sense with the responsibility he has now. I don't love listening to Clay talk about how, like on that Draymond pod that he did a couple weeks ago, he's like, when I'm used, it stinks to have tough games when you're used to scoring 37 in a quarter. I'm like, you're not used to scoring 37 in a quarter. That happened one time. You also one time had 0 points in a huge postseason game. So you're equally as used to those two things. I think that's the hard part with Clay. Clay is still not fully out of living in the past. It's time for future, and that doesn't mean he can't be on the team, but it does mean he can't be on the team in the form that he's been on the team before.
I don't know how you make his role be befitting what it should be and still be able to add somebody who makes it so that his role is now different, because if you pay him whatever you're going to pay him, I don't think you're going to have the money. You don't have the draft capital to go out and get a player who's good enough to sublimate him to the role that you're talking about.
Well, but I mean, he I mean, he came off the bench this year for a good portion of games.
Right, but he still shot the ball the second most times on the team.
Granted.
And so I just don't know. You don't have the players who can step up and take his place to make it so, yeah, Clay, you be our seventh man, and you play 24 minutes a night, and we'll still be good.
I'm with you, but again, Clay Thompson is not, and this is, again, this is just my sort of take after listening to Bobby, Clay should not be option one. And I mean that in terms of your roster construction, not your game. Clay should not be part of option one. Option one would be, can you go get a much younger, true number two who's tall on this team?
Man, long.
That's option one.
It's one thing, but Mike said today was positional length. Not just front court length, but positional positional size, I think is what he said.
And if they aren't able to do that, then yes, there is a way for Klay Thompson to be on this team and still add more players at the right price. So there are a number of scenarios that he's involved where he's in, and I would imagine there are a number of scenarios where they're out. If you want to be really good next year, I think I would lean toward out. But I don't but I don't know if the Warriors are going to have that opportunity to actually be a contending roster next year.
For me, plan A1 would be get something for Chris Paul and get something for Wiggins and Moody and keep Clay at a reduced price. If you can have, forget the Chris Paul piece because that's a long shot, but if you can trade Wiggins and Moody and get back a player who is making 28 or 30, somebody who's a really good wing player, somebody who's a better defender, and then Clay can become your sixth or seventh man, essentially, then you got better. You end up keeping Kuminga, and you keep Pods and TJD and Steph and Clay and Draymond and the rest of it. That's how you get better. I don't think you get better by, even if you get rid of Clay and you get rid of Chris Paul and Looney's gone, I don't think free agent-wise you can go out there and get two players or even one player to make you better than the players you're losing.
You like Jeremy Grant?
He's all right. I mean,
it's another name.
Right. What's he going to command?
What's he going to command?
Is he a free agent, or that would be a trade?
That would be a trade, but could be available. You know, you have a transitioning club that's not looking to spend big dollars, makes the exact same amount as Chris Paul.
Jeremy Grant does.
Jeremy Grant.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. The Captain Clay Report is well-timed and brought to you by City Cruises. Plan a birthday, anniversary, or company party on a spectacular dining cruise at citycruises.com. Clay ended the season by going 0-10 from the field, the first time he was held scoreless in a game since his rookie season, and there's a chance it could have been his last game as a Warrior, too. And so comes to a close the most depressing Captain Clay report that I have ever delivered in history.
That report's taken on water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Captain Clay report, he didn't score and might be gone. Yeah. Thanks for coming.
I was waiting for the tag on the sponsor.
Right, that was fun.
Holy cannoli.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure was.
I don't know how. I do know how you bring Clay back, but
yeah,
I don't.
He signs a piece of paper and then he comes and plays.
Well, I was thinking financially and logistically because, you know, you hear everything from everybody, including Bobby Marks, who says, yeah, I still see Clay as a guy who can potentially get 25 to 30. Probably 2 years, not three.
Well,
but
there was something about that, too. And I noticed that also where you're like, okay, Clay, are we really? And this is, I don't get mad at him if he does. But after a career as a Warrior and a Splash Brother and the Big Three and all the things you guys have all done together, are you really going to turn down 24 a year from the Warriors so you can go get 26 somewhere else?
I don't think so.
Like, if he does, hey, go get your $2 million a year.
Well, 24 was
like,
before.
Really? I know.
I wonder if 24 is still out there.
I don't know.
Yeah. And this is going to be,
you're probably not going to get him for a whole lot less. I know Warrior fans want him for 20. That's probably not going to happen.
10 per, 20 you know, for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. RC, Drew, Pat, 888-957-9570, reacting to Mike Dunleavy, reacting to Bobby Marks. It's Willard and Dibs.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
If you finish next season over the second apron, your first round pick in 2032 gets frozen. Okay, so what that means is that you won't be able to use that in a trade. If you're in the apron, basically 3 years in a row, so you're starting with the 24-25 season, your draft pick in the seventh year, so all the way out, will get moved from wherever it is to the back of the first round. So let's say 7 or 8 years from now, Golden State's got the first pick in the draft. Well, that all of a sudden becomes the 30th pick in the draft because you've been over the apron for 3 years in a row.
I probably operate off the saying there's never a bad time to make a good decision. So it doesn't mean it's not tough and you stir over it, but my job is to have the best interest of this franchise and the direction of this franchise. And when I make a decision or we make a decision, so that's what I'm going to do.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Mike Dunleavy looks like a nice guy, talks like a nice guy. He might be a mobster, though. There's never a bad time to make a good decision.
Wow. He's a cold piece. You have to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw it with Jordan Poole.
That's some Goodfellas stuff right there.
Yeah.
But watch out. Yeah.
You better be careful.
I think they're all setting it up because right now they don't know. But you can hear in their answers that there are a number of things that could potentially be on the table. And I think for the first time in all of their careers, there is a full realization and acknowledgement that some of the things that will be on the table include Klay Thompson and maybe even Draymond Green not being on the team next year.
Has to be if you're looking at the financial situation and where they wound up. And, you know, Bobby Marks mentioning that they were, you know, a Draymond Green suspension away from being a top four seed. Bottom line is you weren't a top four seed. You weren't even a top six, a top eight. You were the 10, and you played the 9, and you got boat raced. You got motorboated, as Lo Neal used to say. Instead of boat raced, he'd say motorboated, which became part of the lexicon, even though he knew what motorboating is. I don't think that he quite knew what he was saying.
Wait, what's motorboating? Don't answer that. Go ahead.
Don't ask me questions, and don't let me answer it. Okay, that's the answer.
Stop.
That's the answer.
Wait, sorry, I wasn't rolling. Can you ask the question again, Mark?
No.
Ah, please.
Come on, Grandy. You're better than that.
I'm cutting Bobby Marks. What do you want from me?
Sorry, too late. Too late.
I want you to be rolling on both things at once.
Moving on. I'm like Klay Thompson.
No. We really need it.
No, you don't.
Anyway, what were we saying? Oh, that's right. I said they got boat raced, and you said something about, you know.
I didn't say anything.
Man, you could say it again.
Nope. It'd be cool if you did.
I don't remember what I said.
I don't either. All I know is that they were the 10 seed, and you got boat raced by the 9 in Sacramento. So Bobby can say what he says, and he's not wrong, his opinion, but you wound up as the 10, and you're in a situation where changes must be made, hard choices must be made, and so you're going to have to make them.
I want to split the difference between what Bobby Marks says and what I hear a lot of frustrated Warrior fans say. Skills was one of them. You know, he wants to blow the whole thing up. Bobby Marks is like, gosh, Draymond doesn't get suspended. You guys are the 3 or the 4 seed, and it's like you're still a contender. And I'm like, can we split the difference? I'm done with looking at this particular group and thinking that they can compete at the highest of levels. I'm done with that. However, I'm also done with everybody out there who's like, the Warriors are a joke. It's over. They're trash. They won 46 basketball games in an absolutely epic Western Conference. That is not to make it sound like they're right there. They're not right there, but stop calling them a joke. They're not trash. They're not done. They don't stink. They don't suck. It's not over. All these players are did trade them all. Youth movement. I want everyone to be 19 and under next year. Like, that doesn't make any sense either. So, like, I don't know. Not everything. A lot of what I hear right now feels extreme. It feels extreme. Keep the big three no matter what. No, don't say no matter what. They're all trash. Move on. It's over. No, that's not right either. That's my take. There is a way for the Warriors to tweak, maneuver, trade, and be good next year. I don't know if they'll be able to do it, but there is a way. It's not over, and so that should be option A. They should try, and we'll see what they can do.
Well, that is a thought. And, you know, you want to use the 46 wins as a barometer, and you can because they played 82 teams and they won 46 of them. But I look at what they did against the true good teams in the Western Conference, and they were 4-19 against the top six. So, yes, they're not a joke because they won 46 games against professional basketball players and professional teams and franchises that also pay their players hundreds of millions of dollars to play basketball. But when it came to play the good teams in your own conference, you got boat raced repeatedly.
Enough.
You were 4-19, not even remotely close to good enough. You got dominated by Dallas, manhandled by Minnesota, outclassed by Oklahoma City.
Easy.
Pounded by Phoenix. See, I'm doing some alliteration here, yeah, if you let me finish up.
It's an alliteration sensation, but it's also inaccurate.
Laughed at by the LA Clippers.
It's inaccurate. It's inaccurate.
Mashed by Minnesota.
It's inaccurate. You already did Minnesota.
Noogies from New Orleans.
Stop. It's inaccurate. New Orleans one's accurate. That one's accurate. The rest are not.
Ostracized by Oklahoma City. Pounded by Phoenix.
No, that doesn't work just because it's a P. No. You're going to have to phonetically be correct there.
Finagled by Phoenix.
Finagled.
You were embarrassing against the top six.
No, they weren't.
4-19 is embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. They lost most of them.
My opinion. Okay. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like they got blown out every time.
Lambasted by the Los Angeles Clippers.
Well, they weren't. They were up by 24 points.
1-3 against the Clippers. Clobbered by the Clippers.
All right. Are you done?
Demolished by Denver.
No, they weren't. Jokic hit a buzzer beater. What are you talking about?
0-4 against the Nuggets.
Let's go to, the champs. Yeah, they're good. Newsflash.
All the good teams clobbered you.
No, they didn't.
Gobbled by the good. It was alliteration. I was trying to get through it.
I think it's run its course. Just my opinion.
I had a couple more.
Just my opinion.
Humiliated by Houston.
Let's go to Drew Down and Tracy.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Drew. What are you doing?
What's going on, Willard? What's going on? What do you mean? Oh, boy, Dibs. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I thought we were friends,
what
man.
What the hell was that insinuating?
It's an insinuation sensation.
Well,
I'm bracing myself for the invariant, because Drew is real nice on the tube, and then he gets on the air, and he always takes a pot shot at the Dibber.
I called you Dan Finley last week. Come on, man.
That was nice. Thank you. I'm a little hungry. Sal's not getting it done today, Drew.
Yeah. Anyways.
Want to have a filet?
Just to talk about blowing it up, I think that's obviously a bit much. What is blowing it up mean? This team more than likely does not have a first-round pick this year in a draft that's widely considered to be a pretty porous draft anyways. The CP3 $30 million unguaranteed is nice, but from what I understand about the new CBA, it's pretty punitive, and they'd have to trade CP3 for somebody making at least as much as him, and you know, obviously that includes attaching draft picks, so I'm not sure how feasible that really is. The new CBA is just super punitive for teams in that second apron. And then Klay Thompson, I mean, a lot of players are going to be jaded and have recency bias on that last game, obviously. That game against the Kings was bad. He's been really bad in the last three elimination games, but I still think there's a spot for Klay on his team, you know, to come back for a couple years. But in my opinion, he's got to come back at a reduced role. I mean, I know he came off the bench for a while, but he was still more or less getting starter minutes. And I've been of the thought that, hey, as long as we got Curry, Clay, and Draymond, you know, let's ride this core out. But and I did that all the way up until Tuesday, and this team got embarrassed, smacked up in a 9-10 play-in game. Oh. You know, this wasn't a playoff series against the top seed. No disrespect to the Kings, but we got smacked up in a 9-10 playoff game. So, like, you know, that kind of makes me think, like, all right, you know what, maybe we don't need to blow it up, but maybe we need to pivot a little bit and see what we really have. You know, Moody was cooking in that game. He didn't get much run. Kuminga was up and down. But, you know, I don't really know if there's a trade out there. Maybe Wiggins, you know, like I said, maybe there's something out there. Nothing's really clear cut at this point, but, you know, I'm almost at the thought of next year is like, hey, man, like, you know, if Clay comes back and Draymond doesn't get traded, which I don't think will happen, these guys might need to take a little bit of a back seat and let's let these young guys really cook. And some people might say, well, we're wasting Steph's prime. Guess what? We had the main three plays this year, and like I said, it ended with a 9-10 whooping. So, you know, we might, especially with Moody and Kuminga coming up on their contract extensions, are you going to pay these guys? Are you not? So I think next year, you know, we might need to say, hey, let's let these guys, you know, get a little more – in a little more run. I know when the Spurs, I think it was 13-14 when they won the chip, I believe Kawhi Leonard was their leading scorer. Not saying Kuminga is that, but, you know, those guys took pay cuts and took a little bit of a back seat to let some of the young guys kind of get the shine. So we'll see. I'm not in favor of blowing it up. Some tweaks are needed. But then again, I'm not a Fairweather fan. Some of these guys just came around in 2014. You don't win every year, man. Sometimes you take some lumps. So
Drew, there's no question. There's no Drew. Thank you so much, man. Good to hear from you. Like, there's no question that a reduced role is needed. There's no question about that. You're wasting the rest of Steph Curry's career if you stay the same. Like, it's time to start looking at it that way. Like, oh, don't make big changes. You're going to waste the rest of Steph Curry's career. No, you're wasting it if you stay like this. That's how you can guarantee it's not good enough. So, Drew, you got plenty of good points in there. For me, the only thing that's not an option is coming back and putting all of the weight on Steph, Clay, and Dre's shoulders again. That to me is off the table. That is 100% off the table. They can all be on the team next year, but everybody needs to be asked less.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier in your 415 approach yesterday, I think it was, where you want Steph, he could still be the one.
He can be the one.
But Draymond and Clay need to be the four and the five in terms of import, and then Kuminga's the three, ideally. And then you bring in somebody who's the two. So Steph can get you 27 a night, and this new two gets you maybe 20, and then Kuminga gets you 16. Draymond's a triple single. Clay's giving you a plucky 15 off the bench, and all of a sudden now you've got a more balanced team.
Bobby Marks put a flaw in my 415 plan.
Put a bullet in it.
Yeah.
Pillow over the face.
Big time flaw. Granted, yeah. Do you have that? He put a flaw in my plan to have Clay Thompson on the team and a brand spanking fresh 20-something-year-old number two. Do you have it, Grandy?
Give it to him, Grandy.
He's going to give it
to him straight.
Give him a second because Lucas is in there, and he's yapping at him. And
I can't see Lucas.
Yeah, he's you know, he's all over him, and so that distracts him. Do you have it now?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, Grandy's got it. Go ahead.
No, they can't. They can't because basically what will happen is Clay would replace, if you waived Chris, would replace that. You're basically right at the luxury tax. You know, you sign Clay and you move Chris and you take back a $30 million player. The likelihood is that, you're going to be deep in the tax. You're going to be in the apron. And that's something, you know, as you guys know, ownership has pretty much said no to unless, you know, hey, things change. I mean, things are pretty fluid. We don't know who that next disgruntled player will be. But as I said, the challenge as far as going out and you basically got to go dollar for dollar on every trade, certainly presents a challenge.
Okay, so that was answering the question of can they re-sign Clay and also go out and trade for a big name? And he said no. There was a caveat. Did you hear the caveat?
Yeah.
Unless Joe Lacob wants to go back into the second apron. And we all sit here today and go, well, man, there's no way he's doing that. Why? does it all the time. He simply needs to be convinced that to do it, you could win it all. And so, does that deal exist? Probably not.
Right.
But I'm not saying no. It might.
Right. It might, but...
And would Joe be willing to do it?
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
But maybe.
And if you are in the second apron at the conclusion of next year's season, you're 2032, which quietly is coming right up. that baby's right around the corner.
Kyle Shanahan knows we won't even be here by then.
The 2032 first-round pick would not allowed to be traded. And if you were in the second apron the year after that, then your first-round pick, I think in 2034, automatically shuttles to the back of the draft based on being a repeat second-apron team. So I know Joe Lacob is not only trying to avoid another $200 million in taxes, of which I think he's already paid $600-plus million in just taxes.
I think it's north of that.
Yeah, I saw the number on Twitter. I think it's 600 and something million on just taxes, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I say bro to try to bring it home, but
yeah, it was unsettling.
If I'm Joe Lacob, I don't want to add to that total for a 10 seed.
Or you could just do all these things and then sell the team in 2031. Checkers.
What's the fun in that?
You playing checkers, he's playing chess.
He doesn't strike me as a sell the team guy.
No, he's not.
He strikes me as a
buy the team guy.
All right, Kent and the other Lacob.
Kent.
Let's go ahead and
Kirk.
Kirk and Kent. Kent is his other son.
You called Kirk Lacob the other Lacob.
I couldn't remember his name.
Kirk,
I don't
want to
call him
out.
Kurt. I knew it wasn't Kurt.
No.
Kent and Kurt.
It's Kurt Cousins and Kirk Lacob.
Thank you. I won't forget now.
Yeah, please.
We've had Kirk on the show.
Which Kirk?
Lacob.
Cousins or Lacob?
Yeah.
I know we have.
We've talked to him.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember it, okay?
I know. He's
making
very
fun
good.
Of me. I'm an older guy.
Always.
Memory's an issue.
54 July 1st.
God, I can't believe you know that.
Pat in Foster City. Hi, Pat. What are you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been listening the last couple of days, and, you know, of course, they have to make smart moves. I mean, no matter what moves they make, you want to make smart moves. That kind of goes without saying. You don't want to give up value unless you feel like you're getting equal or better value back, whatever that means. So that goes without saying. But this isn't a call so much from a general manager standpoint, because I don't understand all this stuff, and I've been listening to the show. I, you know, that's all nuance and detail. This is more of a big picture call, and that is, you know, I think they definitely need to get younger. I mean, these teams, the teams we're playing against and losing all year against, are teams with players in their mid 20s, and our team is in the mid 30s. And this would be great if it was like golf where they had the senior tour, or this would be great if it was like tennis where they had the legend tour. You know, bring these guys back. Hey, they're still playing. You know, but that's not the reality of today's NBA. So, unless you're really into a nostalgia trip and the fans say, you know, hey, I'd rather see our core guys come out every year, even if they lose in the first round, at least as my guys. If that's what the fans want, and that's what Lacob's happy with, maybe that's what they do. But for me as a fan, and me, if I was running this team, I wouldn't be satisfied with that. I'd say, you know, we got to make some cold decisions here. And if that means breaking this team up and losing some players that have been around, that have won us championships in the past, we got to move on. I mean, I was season ticket holder for 20 years. I was in section 128, row 10, seat 9 for all the championships. I got so many championship T-shirts, I can't tell you. They all got holes in them now. They're, you know, I can't wear them anymore. They're falling apart. It's been that long. So I think we need to make some serious changes. And for me, I would err on the, if you want to make a mistake, my mistake would be on the, of changing things up and not leaving things alone. I'd rather err in that direction than keeping these guys too long.
I love your call, but did you just say that you have all the championship shirts and they're all old and they have holes in them?
Yeah.
Bro, that was 22 months ago.
Talking about the first one in 15.
Well, I mean,
he's worn that thing out.
So, but Pat, the rest of your call was very, very good. This is what I'll say. The rest of your call, you were talking about the idea that you don't want Joe Lacob just handing out a bunch of thank yous, and don't worry, he won't. He absolutely won't. So, like, to me, I look at the priorities this way. Joe Lacob and the Warriors, my impression, if they do any of this, if they keep Klay Thompson, if the big three is back, it's not to say thank you. It's because that they believe that in this moment, that's the best they can do. And they've all freely acknowledged that a bigger move might not be out there for them. And if they do that, then you're going to see them, quote, lean on young players more, like Steve Kerr said yesterday. So I don't think you have to worry about that. Joe Lacob does not run the business that way. Steph Curry said in front of everybody who would listen the other night, I want to win. What's the priority? I want to win. That's it. However we can do it, that's what we want to do. So if anybody's worried about that sort of idea, like, oh, make a big deal or let the fans have fun with Steph, Clay, and Dre on their way out the door, I don't even think that's a thought in his mind. Steph, Clay, and Dre get to stay if the Warriors think that's the best they can do.
Right, and it might be the only thing they can do.
Right.
If there's no takers on the market for Andrew Wiggins, and Bobby Marks gave a very good answer when I asked him about Andrew Wiggins and what the league as a whole thinks about him, and he looked at the contract and said, well, the contract is kind of a big number relative to the way Andrew Wiggins has been playing, so it seemed like Bobby was indicating that teams out there are not totally smitten with the idea of acquiring Andrew Wiggins, and if you wanted to trade Wiggins as a Warrior team, you'd probably have to attach something decent to it just to get a team to take Andrew Wiggins. And, you know, all of us here have looked at Andrew's salary and thought, well, you know, Andrew's number is not that high relative to many around the league, but Bobby seemed to think that his contract is a little bit prohibitive to making a trade.
Says it's a little high. I really wanted to follow up on that because you want to know what I found interesting with just that whole idea. So you asked him, and we asked him about Andrew and Klay Thompson. We ask about Klay, what does he say? Ah, gosh, he's still a $25 to $30 million player. And you go, what about Wiggins? He's making 26. He goes, yeah, gosh, a little high. And I went, oh, that's interesting. Bobby Marks indirectly saying that Klay Thompson's value around the league is higher than Andrew Wiggins. That's interesting.
It's because of two things, in my opinion.
Go ahead.
Andrew signed for two more with a player opt, so he's still owed $85 million.
But if you're going to sign Klay, it's going to be at least 2 years.
Right, but it won't be 85.
No.
And the other thing is something that you've talked about is what Klay brings. His number one skill is something that is not as easily duplicatable as Andrew Wiggins, and that's shooting the basketball.
Yep.
And he had a bad year shooting. He had a much better second half, but his overall numbers were down. But he still is a top 25 shooter in the association.
It's fascinating, though, because he's, what, 6 years older than Andrew? But you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, it goes to show you what is valued around the league.
Right.
And right now, teams will take a two guard that just stands there but can knock down threes all day rather than somebody who, in theory, has every skill that a basketball player can have. He can drive, he can shoot, he can defend, he's not 30 years old yet. But sometimes you have to poke him, and then there are other times where you're not even going to be sure what the hell's going on with him. And so you've got to deal with that, and Bobby's sitting there going, yeah, teams would rather pay Klay $26 million than Andrew. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know a different word to use for it.
I was surprised at the lack of a response that I got positive from Bobby. I thought he was going to say, you know, considering the relative bargain price, I think Andrew might be attractive for some teams. But he all but said, yeah, that contract's a little rich considering what he brings.
The more I look at Andrew, the more we look at 2 years ago and go, man, it was just lightning in a bottle because you can't ask Andrew to be your one. But you also can't ask him to be your five. In other words, Andrew will just disappear. And that skill set does not work if you're just like, yeah, we got four other scoring options in front of you, and he'll be like, sweet, I'll just run next to him.
Sweet, that's the problem. He actually kind of would like to be your
right,
five.
I'll just be right behind him. If something comes up, I'll be there. But if not, you can have your 9 points a game and three rebounds, and that's $26 million.
Oof.
But you can't have him be your one because the dog's not in him to do that.
Exactly.
So 2 years ago, it was the perfect scenario where they're like, we're not going to ask a lot of you, but we're going to ask some. And if you're really feeling it, man, you could just muscle up and be great. And then everybody's happy. But if you don't for a night, that's okay too. Like, who the hell's offering that?
For $26
million. Exactly. All right. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. React to Bobby Marks, 888-957-9570. Is it thank you contract time? Do you pick thank you or do you pick next? Let's keep it taking your calls as we go into the 5 o'clock hour on Willard and Dibs. What's motorboating?
When you look at assets they possibly could package at that point, how is Andrew Wiggins viewed around the league at 26.2 next year?
Every team needs a $20 to $25 million player to put in a deal if the goal is to go out and get a $35, $40 million guy. So it's more of a, I don't want to say trade asset, but it's a trade component that a team could use. The value of it as far as on the court is probably not where it was, certainly from 2 years ago.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Bobby was interesting, man. Bobby was really interesting. By the way, get your butts back to YouTube. It got zapped, but it's back. Back.
What happened? Why did we get zapped?
It just went away.
It wasn't something I said.
It was like the Warrior season. It was here, and then it was gone. But unlike the Warrior season...
Got yanked on YouTube.
It's back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, again, Dibs is... just a wee little version of himself. This is a tiny little thing over there.
I had to put the hoodie back on. I'm cold.
What do you weigh? Like 82 pounds now?
I'm down a clean 20.
Are you really?
Yeah.
How fast did that happen?
It the first like 5 to 7 was quick.
Well, 5 to 7. Yeah. Well, no, it's not that.
A fat red pumpkin.
Anybody who's ever
fat red pumpkin.
I'd give myself a 5 for that.
It was a good impression of yourself.
Appreciate it.
No, anybody who's ever like made a change with their diet, you'll notice the first 5 is like, hell, I started yesterday.
Yes.
And that'll just fall off.
Boom.
But, dude, 20?
Yeah.
How many days did you do 20?
It's been 4 weeks. It'll be 4 weeks tomorrow.
That's a lot. That's fast.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good program.
20 pounds a month? You'll be gone in no time.
Seriously. I'm about 8 months away from no longer existing.
That's perfect.
My
plan is working perfect. A
couple more salads and you'll have a new partner. In first 5, like you said, 5 to 7, boom. And then it's been about... half pound a day on the average, but there's been some gain 2, and you lose 1, you gain 1, you lose 3. So there's a fluctuation sensation, Mark, is what it is.
I have a half pounder every day, too.
Yeah, I see you eat over there.
I just get on over there to eat five guys, a habit, or in and out or something. You want to have half pounders.
I'm looking for another 15.
Okay, 35 total.
Yeah.
Looking for 35.
And I'm already about 7 pounds away from my driver's license no longer being a lie. And that was my goal. Because my driver's license says...
What does it say?
5'8". And I'm 7 pounds away from that no longer being a lie.
Why is it a secret? Just say it. Say it!
170 is what my license says.
Okay.
And I was... I was knocking on 200's door. I've never seen 200.
Knock.
I got on the scale.
I have.
Well, and I don't want to, and I won't tell my wife like what the numbers are. So if she's listening, sorry, Farhan. She's not listening, but she is in the car. If she's listening, now you know the numbers. But one time I stepped on the scale and it said 199.4. And I was like, I'm a fat red pumpkin. And then
that's what I am.
You're 6'2".
Right.
At least. I'm 5'8", Mark. There's a difference.
I'm told there is.
Yes. So if I get to 160.
It's only a few inches.
That's great. He's hot today. He's playing great. He brought his A game.
I've never even heard that one before.
Yeah, I'm about 176 right now. So get down to 170, break on through to the other side. I'd love to see what 160 looks like.
LFG, dude.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's good. And you see me every day. I'm eating salad, Mark.
I don't see much of you.
It's
another inch every time I post it. Yeah. Tell you what. I did see this. Work out a little shindig yesterday. A little shindig. So every time you had to walk through the kitchen to go to the restroom, You had to pass by like a little treat bar. And this is what people do. You got a potluck. Well, nobody's bringing broccoli. And if you do, by the way, you're wrong. Like, I love you, but that's come on.
There are a couple salads. Comfort's chicken salad made an appearance.
Right, but if you, that's people who
that
are
place
like,
is great.
Yeah, it's great, but there's a lot of people who are like, oh crap, I forgot the potluck. Let me just grab a salad on my way in.
Yeah.
Nobody's making vegetables and bringing them in. And if you are, you're wrong.
Comfort's is great.
Comfort's is delicious.
You go for lunch, and by the time you get to the front of the line, it's dinner.
Exactly, but anyway, I caught you.
You had to rat me
you
out.
You were standing over those cinnamon sticks or whatever the hell those things were, but I didn't see you eat one.
No.
I didn't see you eat one, which is, that's extra willpower.
Jeez, man.
There's willpower, and then there's like, I'm going to stick my face in this and still not eat it.
I did
like, holy hell.
I took one tortilla chip.
I knew what
chip.
I was doing there. Anyway, go
one
ahead.
One tortilla chip.
Oh, well, that's fine.
And I plunged it deep into that 10-layer dip.
You can,
I got about 8 of the layers.
That's good.
Popped that baby in and walked
away. You can have a chip.
Yeah.
Which layer of the 7 layers did you like the best?
Probably the guac.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big guac guy.
Guacamole.
I like the
absolutely.
Guacamole. But right. Anyway, thank you.
Hey, you look great.
Appreciate it.
You look great.
AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com.
I've noticed that you started positioning your camera lower.
You know, it's not by accident. Well, because if, I mean, for those of you getting back on YouTube.
Like all headshot for 2 years.
Well, when you're fat and bald.
You're like, whoop.
Well.
Take a look at my belly.
There was no good angle. Because if I shoot toward the head, you can see how bald I am. Or you shoot it low and it's, you see how fat I am. But
too low. He went low. Way low.
Yeah, not now.
All right.
Hand that thing down, let's Grandy. Yeah, you won't.
All right. Back to Wiggins.
All right.
Christ's sake. Jabron in Vallejo. What you doing, Jabron? What are you doing?
I'm driving home, man. Just driving home.
Okay.
I'm going to take a little different direction. The first thing I want to say is that, you know, I love my Warriors. They gave us, you know what I mean, so many wonderful memories. But they set the precedent, and they're the ones that changed the league with their championships. The way their gameplay was, you know, they're the ones that made the league evolve to what it is now. So now we're dealing with these new teams that have these shooters that can sit there and compete exactly the way we were doing it when we were winning. And not to mention, we have these big men that can also shoot the three and be inside, so you don't know which way to guard. So my thing is that if we're going to put money into anything, I think we need to put it into therapy. First of all, we know Clay's biggest problem is he gets in his own head. And when he gets in his own head, he has horrible games. So put some money into some therapy for him and put some money into some therapy for Draymond. And then have your veterans work on training and leading your rookies, because they're great and they got good quality grinders. So all I say is that's my take. I think that's what we should be putting money into. Save the team as it is. And even CP3, I mean, they got, you know, he's a veteran, but he can put that time into the rookies. And I think that that's what we should be doing.
Jabron, it's a very, very interesting point. I think you're being a little bit tongue-in-cheek with the whole idea of therapy. I'm not saying that...
Doesn't hurt against the cap.
No.
Therapy money.
Although, it's as expensive as a two-guard. But anyway... I'm not saying that they don't need therapy. I bet they do therapy. I think both of them have said they do therapy. Is it helping? I don't know. Your points are valid with regard to Clay spends probably more time in his head than really actually helps him. And Draymond obviously has a hard time keeping his emotions in check. I don't know if either of those things are truly going away. What just popped to mind, though, in listening to Jabron, was a comment that Jonathan Kuminga made. And this is both a good thing, but it also raises questions. Kuminga pointed to Chris Paul's leadership and said, Chris Paul is the one that has helped me learn how to be an NBA player. All the way down to not just stuff that you talk about on the court, where to be and how to approach the three-point line, but like my diet and how to be an adult in this league. Chris Paul did that. And I'm sitting there thinking, How many years you been in the league, Jonathan?
3.
Okay. You just got that now? Like, where the hell were these? Where was the leadership before Chris Paul arrived? And obviously, it's a question we dealt with a lot last year. Second year in the league, Jonathan Kuminga watches one of his good friends and another one of the young fellas on the team get popped in the face. And so I don't know if Steph, Clay, and Dre, you know, think about them now without Chris Paul going forward. This might be one of the biggest questions that we could ask right now, or that the front office needs to ask itself. If Chris Paul leaves and the big three stay, are they truly able to be the leaders they need to be to usher in whatever is going to be next? Because the point that Steiny made a couple of days ago about Klay Thompson and a reduced role, like his history, his standing within the organization, is too great, in his opinion, to just sort of step aside and let Jonathan Kuminga be himself. It's an interesting point. I don't really know the answer to it, but it popped when Kuminga's like, here we are in year 3, and Chris Paul is the one who finally put me under his wing. I like, the big three needs to be lessened, and I don't just mean that physically.
And I don't know how you bring in any leadership at this point, somebody like Chris Paul. I mean, that was kind of fortunate that you brought in a 38-year-old who, in just 1 year here, didn't have the same track record, obviously, as a Warrior. And so he was able to come in here and just be unique and be himself and lead the way he wanted to lead. I don't know if Draymond Green has that ability now to go to the young players and really be that leader. Klay's never been that kind of guy, and Steph is too busy trying to save the franchise and put everyone on his back. So if there's a leadership void for young players, I don't know if that gets any better in this offseason. And, you know, somebody mentioned earlier on the station that this team is built with a lot of old guys and a lot of young guys and not much in between. And the in-between guys are Andrew Wiggins, likely on the block, and Kevon Looney, likely to not be brought back.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.